Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Now that we've shut down the Patreon and we're no longer putting out new episodes over there, we wanted to put some of the old episodes out here on the free feed. But due to how old some of them are, we wanted to provide a little bit of context before each episode.
So this episode was recorded on August 11th, 2022, and John and I are talking about how to sell more to your current customers, how to serve them better. I really think you're going to like our take on this episode. We've been told it's full of gold nuggets, so please enjoy this episode where John and I riff on how to sell more to your current customers.
The last thing we want to talk about is how to sell people more shit. So this is the what John and I were bickering about, the definition of recurring revenue versus repeat revenue. I don't know. It's hilarious. But the whole goal of this is like, we want to talk to you about how to sell people more things. I think when I first started, certainly, you know, John and I came from a different course. They didn't talk about selling other stuff. It was very much be as niche as you can. And if that means selling one product and being the best at selling one product, be that, right? And I think I learned early on. I remember when I connected with Corey Eckert, he was selling toilets. That's it, just composting toilets. And I was like, what? Why don't you sell everything else that the person who's buying this toilet buys, right? And it turned out to be like tiny house people. And we built this tiny house website together, selling everything you would buy in your tiny house. And that turned out to be the right thing to do, right? They're going to buy the toilet, then they might buy the stove, then they might buy solar panels, they might buy a backup battery, they might buy all sorts of stuff. And it ended up being like a really smart thing for us to do. Obviously, you know, in hindsight, it's obvious, but like, I think a lot of people tend to lean into that. And I did it myself. I owned pelletgrillpros.com and I sold just pellet grills. There wasn't really anything else on my radar for me to sell. 3D printer guy sold 3D printers. I didn't really sell anything else, right? And so, like, I don't think I knew this early on, but I learned it as I went. And I know this is exactly what we try to teach our students, is try to think, what else do people buy? And I think you described this much, much better than I do, John. When I asked you what it meant in our little spreadsheet here, you described it really, really well. So I kind of want to have you explain how you think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely this conversation is, and the way other people talk about high ticket dropshipping is one of the potential flaws in how you do business with this model, right? So we talked on the free podcast, actually, we mentioned Jay Abraham, and he's got this really simple formula that's been repeated. Everyone that you've ever heard repeat this, it actually comes from Jay Abraham, and he said it many, many years ago, actually, because he's been around for a long time. But there's three ways that you grow any business. It doesn't matter what the business does, service business, e-commerce business, physical retail store, like whatever. It doesn't matter. Any business, there's only three ways that it grows. It gets more first-time customers. So in our respect, that's more traffic to the website. It or increases the conversion rate. You increase your average order value. So as in, you sell more stuff on a single order or more expensive stuff on a single order than you did before, your business grows. And the third way is that every customer buys from you or spends money with you more than once, however you want to term that, right? So the way that traditionally people have taught high ticket dropshipping allows you to do the first one, right? Not really the second one and absolutely not the third one. So if you follow that traditional method of just focusing on selling one type of high ticket product, which people might buy once in their lifetime, or maybe once every 5 years or once every 10 years or something, you don't have a way to increase your average order value, and you don't have a way to have them buy from you more than once. So you're left with only one way to grow your business, which happens to be the most competitive way to grow your business, getting more traffic or improving your conversion rate, right? Which once again, there's a cap on what you can do there. So if you hit that cap, then your business can't grow because you don't have the other two ways to grow your business. Whereas if you can do all three of those at the same time and find a way to do that to some extent, then your business grows exponentially, not in a linear way. So if you do just one of those, your business can only grow in a linear method, like a straight line growth. It can be different amounts of steepness if you think of a graph, but if you do all three, you can actually have a curve like an exponential growth curve, right? And so that's part of the reason why when we talk about the concept of your niche in our terms, we've talked about it on this podcast, we've talked about it on our free podcast, or we talk about it in Dropship Breakthrough, the course, it's how do you that question is dominated by the question of how can you serve your ideal customer? It's identifying the ideal customer that you're going to serve and what are the things that you can sell them to, you know, solve their problem, help them fulfill their, you know, desires or the activity or their interest or whatever it is. And so that's why we come at it from that angle, because when you think about it from that angle, you will obviously think up usually a range of different product types that you can sell the same person. And the reason for that is, the reason we get you to think about it in that way, rather than just saying, find a product that will meet criteria, just the product, and just sell that product, is so that you will have the opportunity to have higher average order values and people spend money with you more than once. That's the whole reason. So that you can utilize the three ways that you can grow a business. So how do you then do that? We're focusing on the third way there. We're not talking about getting more traffic or increasing your average order value here. But how do you get people to spend money with you more than once? Well, obviously, if you've done your niche selection the way that we recommend you do it, then you're going to have, you should have access to the products to do it. So that can come in the form of a series of high ticket products, or it could come in the form of you have one core high ticket product, and then you have, there are a range of other products that are used with or alongside or in support of that main high ticket product. Because the second and the third sale and the fourth sale or whatever, they don't have to be necessarily your most high ticket products. They could be accessories. They could be lower ticket products. And the reason why it's less important that they're the real high ticket products is that you're not going to have an acquisition cost on that sale, on the second or the third sale, right? You're not doing those, you're not acquiring that customer again. So you don't have that overhead. So you can sell something at a lower total margin because you're not going to have ad spend come out of that sale. You're not going to have, you still will have some shipping in there if you're covering the cost of shipping, but it's going to be a cheaper sale for you to make. So it doesn't need to be as high ticket necessarily for you to still make money out of it and for you to still add profit into your business. So really where it starts is, it starts actually with planning, right? And in the beginning, you might be guessing a little bit around this. This does get a lot easier as you make more sales and you learn more about your customer and all of that sort of thing if you're not super familiar with them in the beginning. But it starts with planning. So you kind of have to look at the products that you have that you're selling. Like, what are your core products? What are your main high ticket products that you're selling? And then you've got to say, well, what else would the customer buy in follow-up to this product? Or what's the logical progression? Like, do you have those supporting products for the main product that the person's not buying at the time they buy the main product? Are there other high ticket products that you have that it would make sense for them to buy in 3 or 4 months? You could go either way. There's no right or wrong answer there, but you have to start with the product that you're selling and then say, okay, so what is the logical next steps for those people? Like, map it out. When would they buy those? Why would they buy those? Like, what is your explanation to the customer because you're going to go and market to them. And I'll talk about how you're going to do that in a minute, but you're going to go to them and why are they buying those products from you? Like, how are those, is buying, making that second or that third purchase going to improve their life or going to improve their experience of the first product they bought from you? All right. So you have to be able to answer those questions because that's going to be your marketing argument as to why people would want to buy those when you present it to them. And so once you know what that looks like and you've got that mapped out, and you can map that out for, you know, any number of products that you have on your site. You don't need to do it for every single product you have on your site. I would usually recommend that people start by focusing on their best sellers. And we know that any high ticket dropshipping business is going to tend to have a small percentage of its total products be the best sellers, of course. So it's not actually that much work to do this, to go through this exercise. Say you go through it for like 5 to 10 products, right? That's a great place to start. And then you're going to think about, okay, so if I know that's what I think, how I think people should progress here, and this is the reasons why I think, you know, that they're going to have a greater experience if they do that, you then need to work out, well, how am I going to communicate it to them? So obviously the easiest way to communicate with an existing customer is via email. And so you put some thought then into email flows, in your Klaviyo or Drip or whatever you're using, that are going to start communicating to your customer. And, you know, you should have some follow-up sequences anyway. And once again, we talk about this in Dropship Breakthrough in the email marketing section of the program. You should have ongoing communication with your past customers to keep that email list healthy, but you also want to have some very specific email flows that trigger automatically around your best-selling products, right? That are just specific to that are triggered by people who have bought just that one product. And as part of those sequences, obviously, is going to have these repeat purchase opportunities built into them for the customers. And that should be, I think, interspersed with some content that is valuable and also gets people thinking about how these upcoming, chances to purchase those products fit for them. So exactly what those email sequences look like is going to be determined completely by the products that you sell and your ideal customer and what it is, what their interest is that you're helping them to do and all of that sort of thing. But that's what you're going to do. And then built around those, you have some retargeting ads as well. So you can run some retargeting ads if your audiences are big enough to people who have purchased those products, and you can use those ads to lead them back to certain points in that, in that sequence of emails or content that you're going to send them to move them towards those purchases.
I'm trying to step into the shoes of someone listening to this and figure out the questions I would want to ask.
Sure.
Because I feel like I see a lot of people that I've worked with tend to skew towards whatever their manufacturer told them goes with it rather than really like think outside the box. So how, I'm assuming there's people listening to this who are doing the same thing, right? So saunas is a good one. There's one of the main sauna companies is like, here's our backrest with us, sell the backrest, right?
Yep.
There's a lot of other things you can do with a sauna or a lot of other things people who are buying a sauna would like to use. And so how do you begin brainstorming this process of where is my customer going? And then, maybe after you explain that, I'll give you some ideas on how, like, I think you can be clever about this more than just sending an email.
Yeah. So I think the answer to what, the sequence of products or whatever you want to call that looks like, I mean, it's very much dependent on the market, like in the niche. Like I don't know that there's necessarily a set answer. And I should also say that there's a bit of testing here as well. Like, you can test different ideas to see what works. Are you going to know exactly what works? Well, the only way you can know exactly what people are interested in is by asking them. Like, yes, your supplier may have some relevant ideas, but a lot of what your supplier suggests is also driven through the paradigm of what they want to make money on and what they want to sell and what they want to make their bit money doing, right? Rather than necessarily what is in your customer's best interest. Now, sometimes those things may align completely, and that's cool, and you could go with that. But I think, and this is, once again, this gets a bit, I think a lot of people shy away from this, but like every time you talk to one of your customers, like, are you actually, like most people, for most people, customer service is a one-way street. It's them just doing whatever their customer's telling them to do or answering questions, whatever questions their customer have. Very few people actually use their customers as a source of information to help them build a better business as well. So I think there is like follow-up customer service that you can do. And once again, this is something we talk about in the course in a slightly different light, to utilize your customers by having a post-sales experience that can actually lead you to some of the answers of what else your customers would like to buy or feel that they would like to have to help them do whatever it is, the thing that they or what's missing for them right now. Like, I mean, that's a good way you can go about it as well.
Yeah, I think I don't know how to say this. Too many people want to move towards accessories. And then they'll worry, you know, if I have a $20 accessory on my site, what if that just sells on its own? I'm going to lose money selling on its own, right? Like, there's a lot of worries that go around, and most people are only thinking accessories, right? So I'll use the worst example possible, e-bikes. What would you sell with an e-bike? You might sell like a place to, I don't even know what they call them, but like, you know, the thing on the back behind the seat where they can put stuff on there and strap it down, or this, you know, the basket on the front or something on the front like that, or an extra battery, or like, I feel like most people tend to lean towards the same thing. And maybe this is the same story as like when we do niche selection, we end up getting people talking about the same exact things, right? They come up with the same ideas, and then eventually they have this breakthrough and they go outside the box, and that's where they start thinking, right? And so maybe this exercise is just take time to go deeper, and you know, your customers are going to give you the answers here. So when I think like, you know, sauna, people who are interested in a sauna are also probably interested in red light therapy. They're also probably interested in cold plunges. They're also probably interested in millions of other wellness products because of the journey they're on. And so I was hoping you had a good answer, because I don't have a good answer here of like, how do you really sit down and try to design out the journey that your customer is on when buying this? Like, and we can choose any product, right? You can go back and think about the pellet grills I used to sell. What is the journey that they're on where selling them things that aren't just accessories? Because I can think of a million accessories, right? Whether it's pellets, whether it's, you know, silicone heat resistant gloves, whether it's like different tools, you know, to flip your burgers or whatever, things like that. I can think of accessories, right? And usually your manufacturers have covered this as well. I think accessories are good. I actually think that's the place you should go to private label personally. But like, how do you think of the medium tier? And I don't want to talk high tier, because you don't have to sell them another, you don't have to sell an $8,000 product and then sell them another $6,000 product. But how do you find things that are actually part of their journey and aren't, you know, $14 where you're going to make 50 cents on it? It's actually not even worth your time to, like, you know, process the order. How do you start? And I'm asking selfishly, John, because I can do this in my own head, but I don't know how to explain it. I don't know how you really, without, you know, understanding your customer at a deeper level, which you will over time. Is there a way to think through this early in your journey?
Well, yeah, I think it probably comes down, like I said right at the start. I mean, this does get easier over time, and you don't need to nail it. I mean, this doesn't need to be something that you're working on right in the very beginning, right? In the very beginning, you just need to make some sales, some first-time sales, right? That's the most important thing. That's where all of your focus should be, is actually getting a regular flow of first-time sales, right? Then you can start building these back-end sales, as they're commonly called in marketing. You can start building that stuff out over time. There's absolutely no pressure to have this settled when you're launching your business. Like, you can't, honestly, you can't. And so you shouldn't feel that pressure. Certainly, I think spending as much time as you can in your customer's world is helpful. And no, that doesn't mean you have to do it physically. You don't have to be your customer. But if you go and hang out where some of your customers hang out online that are based around whatever their interest is, I would be shocked if you didn't learn some of this stuff. So, like, using your example of, you know, pellet grills and you know, people who are interested in using those products for, you know, cooking, like, what are their interests? Like, what their interest isn't pellet grilling, really. Like, what is the core interest that sits behind that? Like, and there could be more than one. Like, who is that person and where do they hang out online? Like, are they part of groups, online communities? Do they read books, magazines? Like, where do they learn about this stuff from? Where do they learn how to use a pellet grill? How do they even know about that? Like, that, you know, like, people find out about all this stuff from somewhere. So can you go, maybe there's, you know, podcasts that talk about doing the thing that they do, right? Go and listen to them. What do they talk about? What other products do they talk about? Like when they're, you know, doing those activities, what are they asking questions about in their communities and all that sort of thing? And that's a pretty legitimate way to learn more about what else you can be offering your customers to help them in whatever their particular space or their passion or their interest is.
I want people to realize that this is fucking hard because I literally used to sell Pelicans. Sure. I own PelicGrillPros.com. Still exists, by the way. Somebody's still running it. And I'm struggling right now to think like, all right, so here's where my head goes, right? Again, pellets, tools to flip your burgers and stuff like that. Obviously, like you can get into the couple hundred dollars on like digital Wi-Fi, Bluetooth thermometers nowadays. But I'm trying to think, and even where I learned about it, right? It was my ex-wife's uncle was the national sales rep for Memphis Grills, which I think is the best pellet grill on the market, hands down. And then he talked about it constantly, right? Because he was the national sales rep, and it became like a status thing inside that family where one family member got one, and then another family member had to get one, and it became more like a status thing, but it also became sort of an entertainment thing. And so if I think I sold someone a pellet grill so that they can have status because they have the pellet grill, and then they also have the ability to entertain people now with this new whatever, I'm trying to think through what was cooked for me, like tri-tip and random big steaks or like different things that they could kick on the grill. Like I don't understand how I can do something with status or something with entertaining, like they're entertaining. I can sell them other things. So I'm literally like thinking through, his name's Rick and my old father-in-law, Jack. I'm thinking through these people of like, what did they also have that made sense with a pellet grill to have on a same website? And I'm actually struggling with this. So I want to be like empathetic to everyone who's listening to this, who's like maybe not getting it either, because I did get it on some other businesses, but I don't. Pellet grills is one of them. Actually, I don't get it on, and that's kind of weird. John has a dog on his lap now, folks. Welcome to the show. What is the dog's name?
This is Bizu. Hello.
That is one cute, fluffy dog.
Yeah, he's a toy poodle. He's very cute.
Yeah, he's very cute. So anyway, John, I know he walked away. By the way, this is all on audio. John walked away to get this dog. What I was saying was, when I think of Rick and Jack, it was a status thing, right? Because one family member got it, then the next one got it, and neighbors had to get it, right? It was a status thing. But it was also like a way for Rick to entertain. So he would make these great dishes or pulled pork or whatever. Yeah. And I'm still struggling. Actually, now that I said that, he used, I don't remember the name of it, those big mixers with the giant silver bowl and they spin, you know what I'm talking about? Very popular. That's very popular in the smoking community to put your pulled pork in there and let it pull it for you rather than you actually manually pulling it. So that there you go. I just stumbled on one right there that I'm positive you could probably sell. But I'm trying to think through what else would...
Well,
now my brain's actually starting to work, dude. Great fucking knife sets.
But you mentioned... you mentioned a couple of things there. So what is... I mean, yes, there was the status reason that, you know, that people were buying those products. But also, like, you said, like, his interest was being able to entertain people and to cook great food for them and all of that sort of thing. Okay, so the interest isn't really pellet grills as such. It's being able to entertain people and cook great food for them. That's the passion. The passion isn't the pellet grill. The pellet grill is a vehicle to that, the fulfillment of that passion. So are there other products that can also help provide, that can be vehicles to taking the customer towards the satisfaction of that passion? Well, your mixer thing, whatever the heck that is. I know what you're talking about. I don't know what they're called.
I can't remember the name either.
Yeah. But those products, right? Can you sell those? Are there other things that will help your customer entertain people at their home? Like, yeah, heck yeah, there are. There's tons of things. I mean, I'm sure there is. There's all sorts of outdoor things that could feed into that. Are there other outdoor kitchen? Would that person also be interested in using a pizza oven? You know, like, not all of them, no, but some of them. You don't have to have the same repeat purchases for every customer. The expectation isn't that everyone's going to make them. You're just going for a percentage of your customer. Like, if only 20% of your existing customers buy another high ticket product from you, your business has just grown a lot, right? And if that keeps happening, that percentage over time, that's a lot. Then if another 10% buy a different product from you a second or a third time, it's just grown even more. So, you know, it's not about thinking, what will everybody want to buy from me? You've only got to find a few of your existing customers to buy one product, a few buy another product, a few buy another product. It all adds up to a much bigger thing. So, but that's exactly the thought process. I'd probably say as well that if you went through niche selection the way that we teach it, you probably wouldn't have ended up with just a pellet grill store in the first place. I think that's the other important thing to say here as well. It's a good example though, because a lot of people do have a business that's built in that way because they built it a while ago and that's what they knew at the time to do it that way. But that's how I would do it. And yes, your business is still going to be called Pellet Grill Pros or whatever, and you might be selling a range of other products. That people worry about that. That doesn't matter. That really doesn't matter. If you're selling things that aren't pellet grills and your business is called Pellet Grill Pros, it really doesn't matter. But that's the process. That's what I'm talking about. Like if you try to go out and find the guys and the girls that own pellet grills, and where are they online? What are they interested in? Where are people talking about pellet grills? And then looking about what else are they talking about? Like they're going to be talking about other products for sure. So that's the answer.
You got my head spinning. It makes me want to reach out and try to get that site back, because there's a million accessories that I would private label now for sure. I didn't have any experience in the private label realm, and we're going to do a whole episode here on Patreon on the private label side of things. But, you know, just thinking through salmon cedar planks, for sure you can get a Bluetooth thermometer thing or an instant thermometer private label easily. The tools for your grill, cleaning supplies, there's a million things that you could private label and grow an entire private label line around this business. And that's exciting to me. That's where the margins are. You just built a second asset that now supports your first asset, which is, you know, something any great marketer will tell you about. Having multiple businesses that are all supporting each other is a no-brainer. And so, yeah, I'm kind of excited for a business I don't own anymore now, John.
Yeah, that's cool. Look, I think when you really think about it, there are a lot of exciting possibilities. Yeah, it's a bit of work to set them up and to go after them. And it may take a little bit of time for you to work it out exactly as to what the best pathways to take people down are. Because if you sit and think about it for a long time, you'll probably come up with a lot of ideas, I think, in most spaces. That's okay. Like I say, business, as we always say, I mean, it's a long-term thing. It's not, you don't have to work this all out tomorrow. You don't have to feel like you're under some undue pressure to know the answers straight away all the time. You work it out by doing and just being prepared to sort of iterate on what you're doing over time, and you'll start to find the magic.
Well, this is a fun subject. So if someone's listening and wants to, you know, John and I to brainstorm on it, we'd be happy to on an episode. Or obviously, John and I both offer private coaching as well, if that's something you want to do. But this is the fun stuff. Like, there's a reason you and I came together and we were like, let's just give away the model for free, right? The free show damn near teaches people exactly how to get started, right? And if you want handheld, that's what Dropship Breakthrough's for. But that's step one. Right. And step one scares most people away, if I'm honest. I think you'd be shocked at how many people never fucking log into our course, who buy the course and maybe log in once, or have just never even built a store. Like the people who actually complete it, it's a shockingly low number. And so step one already deters most people. But if you can get through that step one and you built something that's acquiring customers and making profit, the amount of things that you can do to grow your business and have fun is unlimited. And this is just one that, I don't know, that shit's fun, John. To me, like that's where I have fun thinking about business. So this subject alone is something, just one of 100 things that excite Ben personally about growing a business.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun stuff. I think for sure.
Well, again, if you want your if you want to be featured here, so John and I can drag it down, let us know. Otherwise, happy to be back. I think this is a little short. My timer is a little weird here on Zoom, so I have no idea if we're long or if we're short. But that's the end of the episode, folks. So John and I will be back next week. Please reach out if we can use your business for a Love Your Customer sequence, private labeling, an underperforming business, email for high ticket drop shipping, how to build out your avatars, any of those things, or any other things that you'd like us to talk about, and you want to volunteer your business, just reach out. Dropship Patreon podcast at gmail.com is your private email. So please email us, and we will utilize somebody who reaches out and talk through exactly how to do some of these cool things in your exact business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image, and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.